Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us on today's conference call. My name is Christina Hunkin, and I'm a program assistant with the National Coalition for Homeless Veterans. I'm going to give a brief introduction to today's call titled the Department of Veterans Affairs Capital Grant Application. This call is being recorded and is made possible by technical assistance grants given to NCHV, and the audio recording will be made available to everyone who registered for the call. So if you did receive an email with the call-in information, you're on our list, and you'll receive in the next day or so an email with a recording of the call. There is a presentation handout for this call. All of you who registered should have received it earlier this morning, but if you didn't receive that email, please do visit our website right now. It's www.nchv.org. And on our homepage, there's on the left, on the right side, there's a conference calls icon. If you click on that and then click on the link for today's call, in the next page, you'll see a link to download the presentation. So please do take a few moments to download that so you can follow along. NCHV.org.
And where's the link?
On the right side of the homepage, there's the NCHV conference calls icon. If you click on that.
The conference call?
That's right.
Okay. And VA Capital Grant application?
That's correct. And for you'll see today's date with the call title, and then it will say to download presentation, click here.
This is Deborah Jones out of Washington, D.C. I'm having problems with my machine. Is there can I just still just participate in the conversation?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Okay, this is downloaded onto my computer. Do I need to – can I save it on my computer? Because I notice it's 23 pages.
Sure, that's fine.
Or do I need to print it?
Oh, no, you can just – however, if you want to print it or follow along on your computer, either way is fine.
Okay.
Okay, I'm now going to mute all lines to reduce background noise. 1 minute. Okay, and you will be able to ask some questions of Melanie in a little bit. So to unmute your line, you can press *7. So when you have any questions, press *7. Then to mute your line, and please do remember to mute your line after you're done with your question just so we can keep the background noise to a minimum. You can either press the mute button on your phone or press *6. Okay, again, that's *7 to unmute and *6 to mute. Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you again for joining us. And I would now like to turn the call over to NCHV's Director of Technical Assistance and Finance, Melanie Lilliston. Thank you.
Thank you, Christina. I hope everyone is doing well today. I am going to be going over very briefly the capital grant. As many of you may know, there is a notice of funding availability for the capital grant that was announced at the end of January for capital funds. I'm not going to be specifically talking about that, that NOFA. I am going to be going over the application process and some of the important things that you need to know while filling out that grant. So if you have specific questions in regards to that NOFA, we are going to be having two conference calls on that in the next couple of weeks, so I would encourage you to listen in during that call as well. But if you do have more general questions about the application itself, I'd be happy to address those. However, to note that the NOFA did come out, it was dated January 30th. There is $15 million slated for the construction, rehab, and rehabilitation of buildings that will house and serve homeless veterans. So after you listen to this call, and if it sounds something like your organization would be interested in, I would encourage you to take a look at that. You can download it from our homepage, and on the notes page, we will go ahead and put a link to that current NOFA. But just know that there is current funding available. The due date for that is going to be March 25th, and all of the rest of that information will be included in the NOFA as well as covered in the conference call. So that's just a brief note of what is going on currently is that there is funding availability right at this point in time. However, today we're just going to go over some of the basics of the application and some of the rules and regulations. So if you have specific questions about that NOFA, please either contact me after the call or during the call specific to that. All right. I am going to go ahead and begin my presentation today. It's kind of broken up into two different portions. The first portion is just to make sure that everybody's on the same page in regards to some of the definitions and some of the different things that you need to take in consideration when you're creating a program for serving homeless veterans. So after about half of the slides, I'm going to take some time and answer questions and then cover the rest of my presentation and conclude with as many questions as we can get in the time frame. So if for some reason you don't have the presentation or you haven't had a chance to look through it, that's fine. Most of the things I'm going to be talking about are covered in that, and you can refer them at a later date, or you can just follow along through on the phone. But for those of you who do have the presentation in front of you, I'm going to go ahead and start on slide 2. And we get this question a lot of what is the definition of a homeless veteran. This is really important, especially if you are in an area that has a lot of people that are either doubled up in different in different locations, meaning they're staying with someone, a family member, a friend, an acquaintance, whoever it may be. But the main thing that you want to keep in mind is the definition of a homeless veteran in relationship to this grant and most of the other federal grants is someone who lacks a fixed, regular, and adequate nighttime residence, or someone whose residence is a supervised, publicly or privately owned shelter. This would be those shelters that individuals come in during the evening, but then they're closed during the day. They take their belongings with them, those types of things. An institution that provides temporary residence for individuals intended to be institutionalized, that's fairly obvious, and a public or private place not designed for or ordinarily used as a regular sleeping accommodation. So this would be your underneath the bridge type people, park benches, just your typical homeless person that may be on the street. So as I mentioned before, this definition does not include individuals who are doubled up. And when we say doubled up, what we mean by that is if my brother is homeless and he comes to stay with me on my sofa, he is not considered homeless underneath this definition. So it's very important that you keep that in mind, because in order to be eligible to receive funding, a veteran must be homeless. There are several ways to get around this. One of the easiest things to do is, for instance, if you know of an individual or if you have outreach programs that are working with homeless in the who are doubled up or may need services in that regard, a lot of organizations will work with their transitional shelters and ask them if they can reserve a bed for that veteran for one evening. You transport the individual there. They stay for one evening. Therefore, they are technically homeless because they're staying within that shelter, and then you pick them up in the morning because then they would be eligible for services. So there are ways around that, but those are all things that you need to be taken into consideration when you're designing and implementing your program. Also, the VA estimates that there's roughly 196,000 homeless veterans on a given night. This number is slowly decreasing, but it's important for you to realize what the scope of the magnitude is here. While that number, like I said, is decreasing and has decreased over the past 15 years or so, it is still a roughly high number compared to some of the other of the homeless populations. Then we're going to look at why some of the veterans are homeless, and these are really important because you need to know why veterans are in the situation that they are in order to assist them. Male veterans are typically twice as likely to become homeless, and female veterans are four times more likely to become homeless. There's a variety of reasons for this. A large majority of them has post-traumatic stress disorder. They have addictions that were either acquired or are exacerbated by their military service. The main thing that a lot of organizations who are very successful realize early on is that they have a lack of family and social networks, meaning they can disassociate from a society and not have to necessarily be tied in. And the programs that realize this build this within to their program. An individual that is homeless and is going to be signed up for participation into a transitional program is going to learn very early on if that program is concerned about them and is going to be there to provide them the assistance that is needed. So keep that in mind when you're building your program, is that you want to make sure that you have that and provide the support, the social networks, all of those things within the program, because in most instances, these individuals are not going to have access to them anywhere else. As we all know, and that's why we're on this call, is that the government money is limited, and it typically serves only one in five of veterans in need. As we say here in our office quite a bit, is that homelessness is not the problem. It's the result of 5 or 6, 7 or 8, depending on the individual. Though it's the result of 5 or 6 problems that have resulted in homelessness. So you can't just fix homelessness. You need to fix the fact that all of those things are contributing factors to an individual being homeless. Some of the services that veterans need are the coordinated efforts to provide and secure housing and nutritional meals. It's not just enough to be able to provide the housing. You need to provide the housing with the services, which often include mealtimes. That's a great way for individuals to network and begin to create that sense of community. Healthcare is essential, especially as we are looking at some of the older veterans that are still homeless, and their age is increasing, and so are their healthcare needs. The returning veterans are also having some higher levels of healthcare needs. The women that are returning from service are also looking for a very specific type of healthcare, and those are all things that organizations need to be mindful of. Substance abuse, aftercare, and mental health counseling. If you're going to require that they attend AA and NA meetings, are you going to provide those on site? Are you going to have transportation to that? For instance, you live in a city. DC is a good example. If you have AA meetings down the street, well, is it going to be a problem if you send your homeless veteran out on the street for 4 blocks? Are those 4 blocks going to be the temptation that sends him or her over the edge? So that's something also to take into consideration. Personal development and empowerment. As a veteran begins to become more functioning and becoming a more successful person that's contributing to society, these are things that professional development and empowerment are going to make the individual successful in the long term, as well as job assessment, training, and placement assistance. These are kind of the more long-term things that you're going to want to look at, but all are going to be needed when you're looking and creating a program. And the program we're specifically talking about here, and one of the best ways and one of the few ways that the government provides funding is through the VA Grant and Per Diem Program. The VA will provide grant and per diem funds to help public and nonprofit organizations establish and operate supportive housing and or service centers for homeless veterans. Now, the definition of supportive housing is housing plus services, a combination of those that I just mentioned as well as others, and housing for up to 24 months. Individuals can be enrolled in the program for 24 months. After that, an individual has to be placed into more permanent housing, and the VA will not pay for those services. The program has been around since 1994. The program runs in all 50 states and the District of Columbia. It is a very competitive grant, and it is not only competitive locally, but you're competing against programs in other states. So if you're applying in Maryland, know that you're also competing against people in Virginia and California and Ohio. The things that they're going to take a look at are going to be the needs and your program design, which we're going to get into in just a few minutes. There are two different levels of funding, the capital or the grant and component and the per diem component. The capital grant allows for the creation of new facilities or components of existing ones through acquisition, construction, or renovation. The VA will provide 65% of the funding for the project. Now, two things you're going to want to keep in mind is that 65%. That funding comes from the VA for your total project. So, for instance, if you're taking a building or a piece of land, in this example, you're going to purchase a piece of land, and on that land you're going to build a building, and you're going to house veterans within that building. So your budget will include the cost of the land plus the cost of building the building, meaning you're going to not just have one of those things, you're going to have acquisition and construction included within your total cost. And the VA will pay for 65% of that total cost. And the total budget that you're going to include is all of the things that you're looking to do under this. The other thing to keep in mind is that you do have to provide a match of 35%. That has to be non-federal funds. which means that if you receive funds from another agency, HUD is a good example, they cannot be used as matching dollars for this grant. Now, there are some instances where those are allowed. However, they are few and far between. So for the most part, that 35% has to come from non-federal funds. Typically, that comes from another agency providing those funds, as well as if you have another foundation fund or a local pot of money that can be used for that. Capital funds pay for services. The capital pay for acquisition, construction, and rehab. That means if you're going to remodel building, which is expanding your VA property, that is allowed. But you cannot purchase VA property. If you have VA property that you're looking to use, you can do what is called a long-term lease, but you cannot actually purchase the property. You would have to enter into that long-term lease. Operational costs and salaries are not included. What to keep in mind is that the VA is going to pay for the construction and building of that facility. Once that building is up, you will be eligible to receive per diem. And per diem pays for partial operating costs for the supportive housing and the supportive services. Supportive housing can include and takes many different forms, either scattered site or on-site dormitory or single room occupancy type housing. And supportive services can be a range of different things, included health and dental services, mental health drug counseling, benefits counseling, employment-related services, assessments, basic needs such as meals, transportation and hygiene, outreach and case management, transportation and referrals. These are just a few things that are often offered within a program, and they're based on the needs in the community. And the easiest way to find out what the needs in your community is to download the Challenge Report. It's spelled C-H-A-L-E-N-G. That's available from the VA, and we'll also put a link up on our website. But what this is a yearly assessment of all of the medical centers that serve homeless veterans. They list the greatest needs, the greatest wants, and the and how veterans have been helped within their community. And that's a very good tipping point for your organization to look at, not only as a guidepost of how you should design your program, but also because it's VA-funded and it will get you into those connections of working with and for the VA. The overall goal of this program is to help homeless veterans, those who are homeless, achieve residential stability, increase their levels of income, and obtain greater self-determination. These are the three goals that you must have reflected within your application for this grant program, meaning everything that your program is going to do should somehow tie back to these goals, and everything must tie back to them or your program will not be funded. The other thing that I have not mentioned yet is the VAN application, which is included underneath the capital portion. The VAN application allows organizations who will be transporting homeless veterans for either services or types of programs, program needs, the availability to purchase a van. You still have to have a 35% match, so the VA will pay for 65% of a van to transport and use to the benefit of those homeless veterans, and your organization will have to have a 35% match. A note on both the match for the van and the capital construction, it can be a portion of that can be in-kind donations. Meaning if the your lumber costs $5,000 and the contractor says, well, we will donate half of it, so it's only going to cost you $2,500, that other $25 can be considered portion of your match. Not all of it can be a match of in-kind donation, but you can and you are eligible to receive a portion of your match in in-kind services. So take that into consideration when you're looking at your budget. I'm going to go ahead and stop here before we actually get into the grant application and see if there's any questions on the things I've covered so far, and then we're going to go a little bit more into detail about what's included in the grant application and the different portions thereof. So if you have a question on anything I've covered so far, I'd be glad to answer that. In order to do that, please hit *7 on your phone.
Hi, this is Edna Chukwu. I'm representing Citywide Computer Training Center. And my question is, we do job training and help people to basically re-enter the employment sector.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's personal development. So we wouldn't be functioning as a facilitator for a homeless shelter or a transitional shelter for a homeless veteran.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if we should even be in on this call, because it sounds like these are people who are thinking about actually purchasing or creating a facility to accommodate homeless veterans. Maybe through us, we would probably associate ourselves with those people to try to come in and assist them with their training. But I don't see how else we would be included in this situation.
Not unless you would be looking to expand your program. The one program you might want to take a look at is offered through the Department of Labor, the Homeless Veterans Reintegration Program.
Homeless Veterans Reintegration.
Mm-hmm. And there's some information on our website that I would encourage you to look at. There currently is not. They have a solicitation for grant applications. There's not one of those right now.
Okay.
But probably within the next couple of months there will be. So take a look on our website, and there's some additional information on that as well.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Christina, Dana Crow, Nashua, New Hampshire.
Yes.
I am in the process of attempting to find a farm to lease for veterans specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any particular guidelines that you might suggest I follow? I'm talking about a complete working farm for veterans,
mm-hmm.
a two-year program which would allow these people to become created in a farm institution,
mm-hmm.
Become farm managers and that sort of thing. I'm talking about a full working farm with crops, livestock, you know, the whole deal.
Mm-hmm.
Giving them 2 years to get their stuff together and decide, you know, if this is for them. Including
okay.
workshops in mechanic shop for farm implements and that sort of thing, and perhaps calling a local college to come in and help teach some of these veterans.
Okay, and what is your question?
My question is, are there a particular set of guidelines that I need to follow? Are there any suggestions that you feel could help me in my progress here?
Well, there is a program that's very similar to that currently in Massachusetts, New Hampshire area.
Yes, I'm familiar with it.
Okay. You know, you may want to speak with them. It's run by Leslie Lightfoot.
Yes.
And she may be able to provide some insight for you, but the, you know, the things you're going to want to take into consideration is what is the greatest needs of those of that population you're going to be serving.
Of course.
And then what types of needs they're going to have. So, you know, if you find that most of them are typically chronically homeless, how are you going to serve them and meet their needs? And that's the biggest thing you're going to want to take into consideration when you're looking at that. As regards to regulations, you're going to be under the same rules and regulations as any other application or any other program that will come in.
Sure, sure. So any other areas of funding that I might take a look at?
We post regularly on our website grants and foundation funding for programs, and you would just need to look through and find out if there's grant, if there's geographic and site-specific that would be pertainable to you.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
Hi, this is Ron Reinhart with Lutheran Metropolitan Ministries in Cleveland, Ohio.
Uh-huh.
My question is, our grant and per diem program provides now 25 beds that are inside a dormitory that holds 68.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about increasing and redesigning that dormitory and doing some different construction. Now, can any of this cost and reconstruction, if it affects people who are not veterans, how does that affect the grant?
Well, two things to keep in mind in regards to your situation there. The first one is that under the current round of funding, and this is not always the case, but under the current round of funding, you would only be eligible to receive funds for construction, rehab, and rehabilitation for the additional beds that you would be asking for. So if you have 25 beds now and you want to expand it to the full 50 or 60, then you would only be eligible to receive funds for those additional 25, 35 beds.
Okay, thank you.
And then the second piece that you ask about is if any of that would be available to non-veterans. Yes, 75% of your program has to be veteran-specific. It can be 100% if you'd like, but 75% of those 60 beds must be for veterans. The other 25 can be for the general homeless population and or families, family members, significant others, children. But the 75% has to be for veterans.
Terrific. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Is there another question?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. I'm with the VFW Retirement Home Independent Living Facility in Fort McCoy, Florida. We are privately owned, but we are getting to the point where a lot of our vets don't have hardly any income to meet the requirements to live here.
Mm-hmm.
We have 53 beds. We are finally, because of the economy, going to look for extra funding to renovate the building and add part of the transitional program for the up to 24 months providing services.
Mm-hmm.
Is this something allowable through what you're doing in order for us to do this part first for the remodeling and then go to the per diem portion?
Yes, part of the application is to, when you apply for the capital grant, you also apply for the per diem. If you receive capital funds, then you are eligible for the per diem funds with a maximum of around $34 based on the services that you're offering. But keep in mind that we're talking case management, job placement, all of those types of things. So it sounds like if you're looking to build a new program or enhance what you're currently doing, that would be acceptable. However, it's only up to 24 months. So if those individuals who are in a nursing home setting who are long-term residents, they would not be eligible for this program.
Well, we are looking to help the people that are out here that are looking right now that we'd be able to expand. Like I'm working on services. We have we don't have any medical here, but we do have like the health department come out. I do a lot of programs with the community bringing services here for our residents.
Okay, then that would be acceptable, and they would pay for the construction, rehab, and rehabilitation of the portion that would be the new program.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Wachowski from the Salvation Army. I have two questions. One of them is for the acquisition of the building or the land, let's say, or renovate the facility. Is there any liens placed over that property or the land?
Well, you're asking me if there are or can there be?
Can there be?
In my past experience, no.
No. So if the money is used to either acquire or to renovate, no liens will be placed on the property.
That's correct.
Okay, my second question has to do, you mentioned on when you were going into the van and transportation, to be used for the transporting the vets, you mentioned that the VA will give 65%, 35% will be matched, and a 25%, and they will allow up to 25% in kind?
No. 65% of your total budget in the capital portion is matched by the VA.
Okay.
35% of that has to be matched by your organization.
Okay.
It really varies on how much they allow for the in-kind donation percentage. It really depends on the budget that you're working with, so you would have to work it out with them. But you will have to have some cash of that. Some of your match has to be a cash contribution.
Okay, so it cannot be totally in kind.
No.
A combination of in kind and cash.
That's correct.
Okay, all right. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to take one more question if there is one, and then I'm going to move on. I'm going to answer questions at the end as well, but I just want to make sure I do get in through the presentation. So is there one more question? Okay, well, I'll go ahead and move on. And like I said, I will be answering questions as we move forward. While we were talking, one thing that did come to my mind is that the capital grant, if you do receive capital funds and you are applying for them, make sure if your organization is going to want per diem after that application is after the program is up and running, that there is a section on the application that you will need to check that says you want per diem funds. And what this means is that once your program has been finished, the building has been finished, someone will come in and do an inspection. And if you're building a new building, or even if you're renovating a building, you're going to want to get a copy of the National Life and Fire Safety Codes from your local VA, and make sure that your building is going to be up to code. Because if it is not, and you do not put those funds within your budget, so here's a good example. If you've done all of the things that you said you were going to do with your construction, and you tell the VA we're ready to open, someone from the VA is going to come and inspect your building. They're going to take those fire and life safety codes and see if your building passes those. If you do not, your program will not be allowed to open, and you will have to make those necessary corrections. If you do not bid for them, you're going to have to pay for them outside of VA funds. There is no amendments to your budget. What you submit is what you're going to be held true for everything from your goals to objectives to your budget. That is what they're giving you funds for. So if they're giving you $500,000, if that's it. They're not going to be able to give you $600,000 if you determine that your project is going to cost more in the end. So if you're going to apply for that per diem, make sure you check that box within the application and that your organization is aware that that amount is around $34 or such based on the services you offer. The VA, after your program is designed, is approved, they will give you a rate at how much they deem your services to be worth, and that is based on the types of services that you're offering there. So just because 34 is the amount, it doesn't mean that you automatically get $34 a day. You could get $10, you could get $15, depending on how the VA determines that. And their determination factor is the types of services that you're offering at your location. So I just wanted to make that clarification before we moved on too far. So now we're going to talk about the actual application itself. So we cleared up and talked about who homeless veterans are, why they sometimes are homeless, and types of services that are typically needed. So now that we know that, we're going to go into the real application. In order to receive federal funding, and this is true of almost all federal grants, is you must be a nonprofit, a 501c3 or C19, which is a veteran service organization, a state or local government, or an Indian tribal government. So, for instance, if you're on this call today and you decide that your organization wants to apply for this, and you currently don't have your nonprofit status from certification from the IRS, you would not be eligible for this round of funding. You would have to wait until you have your determination letter from the IRS. Also, if you've already applied for that and do not have the letter, currently, you are not eligible to receive funds. You would have to wait until another round of funding is announced. So you have to have your nonprofit letter in hand currently to submit with your application, or you will not be eligible. All right. Now, the application process is pretty straightforward in regards to how this works and the process in order to get this application completed. It is a lengthy process, but compared to a lot of the grants out there, it is a fairly easy process. The first thing that's going to happen is that a NOFA, a Notice of Funds Available, is going to be announced. I referenced that at the beginning of the call, stating that in the Federal Register on January 30th, it was announced that there is funding available for capital grants underneath the grant and per diem program. For future reference, if you want to sign up for our listserv, you can do that on our website, which is listed on our on this presentation. It's also nchv listserv.org. I would encourage you to sign up for our listserv because it will give you access to resources and notify you of trainings. We're doing a number of trainings, much more in-depth training than what we're talking about today, and in local areas, and we announce that through our listserv. You can sign up to do that on our homepage on the left-hand side. Towards the bottom of the page, you put in your email address, and then you'll be added to our database, and that information will be sent out. You will also get our e-newsletter, which includes training opportunities and resources that are available for organizations that serve homeless veterans. Also, so once you read through that NOFA, and it's going to give you the amount of money that's available and the types of funding. So in this current NOFA, it told us that it was capital funds and that it was for $15 million. And then you're going to download the instructions and the application package. The important thing here is you're going to want to read and reread the instructions. The application looks very similar year to year. However, just like anything, some things do change. There, you see the different sections here? There are six sections that you're going to have to fill out. The good news is that the majority of the application is formatted that it's a fill-in-the-blank application, meaning you have a certain amount of space that your organization can fill in those questions, and you put it directly into that, so you don't have to worry about you download it as a Word document and you put your information within that. So it's a fairly easy document to use once you do download that. Like I mentioned before, the general information instructions are going to give you the organization of the application, the page limits, and formatting requirements of each. You are going to have to include memorandums of agreement, a letter of support from the VA, different types of documentation at the end of the application, and this is where they're going to tell you what types of format they have to be in and how you go about submitting them and how many pages and the details there. They will also tell you the tables and materials to include if they want photos, if they want your budgets, if they want site plans and drawings. All of those will be included here. And then it will also tell you how your application will be reviewed and scored. This is important because it's going to tell you how much each section of the application is going to give you point-wise. And I'm going to go over the review process in just a few minutes, but the scoring numbers are listed right there for you to know that, you know, you're going to want to spend a little bit more time on the sections that have more points available to them than ones that do not. Once you download the application and you fill it out, you're going to submit it. And you're going to submit it by the due date. I get this question a lot. What if it doesn't get in by the due date? Then you're not going to be reviewed. The due date and the address will be listed in the NOFA. As I mentioned, the current one is March 25th. I believe it has to be there by 4 p.m., and it has to be to the office in Tampa. I always encourage people to use a service such as FedEx, something that will guarantee that it will be delivered there and that you'll have confirmation that it was delivered there. If your application is not there by the time it was supposed to be, you will not be eligible to receive funding. And also make sure that you follow the directions listed in the general information and instructions section. Most of the questions that I get here in the office will be either covered first in the NOFA, because I get questions on are we eligible to receive funds, how much money can we apply for, and then I also get questions of how do I fill out this section, those types of things. So please read through the NOFA first and then look at the general information and instructions section, and the majority of your questions will be answered there. If you do have questions, this is our number, 1-800-VET-HELP. Or if you have specific questions, for instance, I'm getting a lot of questions, real estate questions about financing foreclosed property and the different things that may go into that, I may refer you to the VA Grant Per Diem Office. They can be reached at 1-877-332-0334 because they have the final say and are the final authority within what is allowable and what is not. Once that office receives your application, they are going to go through and make sure a threshold review, which basically means did you sign all the paperwork that you were supposed to sign, Did you include everything you were supposed to include? They're not scoring it. All they're doing is making sure that your application is complete. Did the executive director send in a letter? Did they do? Did you sign all of the appropriate forms? They're making sure that all of that paperwork is there. Once that is determined that everything is complete, it's going to go through a panel review. And what happens during a panel review is that your application will be read 3 to 5 times by individuals in the field. They could be practitioners, they could be case managers, they could be program managers, they could be president and CEOs of nonprofits. All of them have knowledge of programs, but their knowledge varies depending on the work that they do. It's going to be read 3 to 5 times and scored independently based on the scores listed in that in those general instructions. All of those scores that is read is going to be totaled up, and they will rank all of the applications based on the cumulative score. So once that happens, they will rank all of them based on the score, and then you will be preliminarily selected and asked to submit a second submission. This is where they tend to ask for a lot more detailed information, site drawings, site plans, photographs. If you have architectural designs, they want to make sure that you have site control. They want to make sure that you have a firm understanding of all of the things that are going to be put into place. If you are selected for a second submission, it does not mean that you're automatically approved. It means you have moved one more level up to be approved, but you are not guaranteed funding if you are requested to send in additional information. Some of the things that really work best within program design, and some of the things you might want to take into consideration when you're creating your program design and your project plan, which is the majority of the application, is that the theory that veterans helping veterans is one of the things that work best. You're working with a population who have, in most instances, had a long-term military career. They're very familiar with the military structure, and it's something of comfort to them. So if you can provide that within a program, it tends to work best, and it also can work best if you've got people who can relate to some of the things that they have gone through in the past, and it gives them an easy way to kind of make that connection straight off the bat. As I mentioned before, transitional housing that talks about the whole entire veteran, not just a place where they come and eat and live, but a place that they live in a community, more of a house that they call instead of a program. It's somewhere that they can call home, that they are able to receive the services and nurture their personal development back to the point where they are able to live on their own. Going back once again to those three goals that we talked about as the program was designed, is you want to make sure that you're addressing the whole entire veteran, not just the fact that he's going to be able to get a job, but the fact that he's going to be self-empowered to feel like he is contributing to society as well. And then also with that goes hand in hand is the individual case management that includes employment training and placement services. Once you get a veteran to a place where he is able to maintain his sobriety or his mental health at a level that is consistent and steady, the next logical step in most instances is to look at some of the employment and the long-term planning for this individual, be that they're going to work full-time and they're going to sit in an office, or they're going to work 2 to 3 hours a day, and that's going to be what works best for them. However that may be, you're going to have the individual case management that will assess and determine that is key. Some of the helpful tips when you're filling out your narrations and your application itself is that it's going to ask you, one of the first sections of the application is executive summary, a project summary. I always encourage people to fill this one out last. It's just like when you do your executive summary for some of the private foundation proposals. It's limited in space, and it's an overall summary and ability for you to show in a small space of exactly what your program is going to do. So I encourage individuals to do that at the very end. You always want to include letters of support from any agencies that you're going to mention, especially the VA. The VA connection is vital here. So if you're looking to apply for funds and you're not working the VA, you need to call your VA up now and find out who your VA homeless service coordinator is and start working with them now. Every medical center has one, and they're going to be key within your referrals and the management of your grant project. So that is vital for you to look at. You're also going to want to show within your project the document of need. As I mentioned before, it's a very competitive grant, so you're going to want to justify why your project and target population is in greater need than someone else just down the street. That is very, very important, and one of the easiest ways to do that is through your challenge report, which I referenced earlier. Also include things from local to global, citing VA resources that will be used. So as someone mentioned before, they're going to provide, they don't necessarily provide medical care on site, but they're going to use the VA Medical Center. Use what is available in your community and use those to benefit the individuals within your program. You don't have to provide everything, but collaboration is key. Use your VA Medical Center. Use your community college for those types of training. If you have good public transportation, utilize that instead of purchasing a van. Show how this is going to be a cost benefit to the VA and the community, and that will definitely be a benefit to you. We talked about the goals of the program. You want to make sure that the objectives that you have are limited, should be time limited and measurable, meaning you're going to give a specific outcome to a certain percentage or number based on how many people are going to be enrolled. Make sure that these are specific. So if you say that 100% of the individuals who enter your program are going to go through life skills training, think about that. What if you have an individual who comes through who may be a returning veteran or an older veteran who doesn't necessarily need to sit through how to write a check or how to use online banking, something along those lines. You don't want to have everybody have to go through that. You want to allow yourself some flexibility there. So you may say only 85% will go through that. Make sure that you don't aim too high. I always suggest starting low is not necessarily a bad thing, but you don't want to say 5%. You want to make your targets realistic, but not so unattainable that it causes you problems. Whatever you list as your goals and objectives within your application is what you're going to be held accountable for. If you're unable to meet those goals and objectives, your funding will be pulled and you will not be able to receive that per diem because you're not meeting what you set forth within your application. Also, if you're targeting a specific population, make sure the services and staff meet those needs. So, for instance, if you have decided that you're going to do a women's program, you need to figure out if you're going to allow, for instance, in a lot of instances, female veterans will come with dependent children. This is also true with some male veterans also. But how are you going to best serve them? Are you going to provide on-site daycare? Are you going to have a connection or a referral to daycare in the area? These are all things that you're going to want to take into consideration. Female veterans have a special cadre of needs that are, of course, going to be different than male veterans in most instances. So how are you going to make sure that you address both of those if you're going to be serving a mixed population? These are all things that you're going to want to have covered within your application. Some of the strengths of an application, as I mentioned, your needs assessment. Did you use the challenge data? Is it used within your application? On the last call, someone asked me their challenge data they did not feel was accurate or didn't have an accurate number of homeless veterans. That is fine to say that this is what the challenge data says. However, either our homeless numbers or our homeless coalition has additional numbers or the census has information to the contrary, and tell them why you feel that information is incorrect. But you have to reference the challenge data within your application. So you need to be familiar with that and how it works within your area. Clearly defining your goals and objectives, making sure they're specific, as I mentioned before. If you can secure matching funds when you submit your application, you will receive additional points. And that is also true if you submit your application and you have a letter from a lender or funders that says, if Organization A gets funds from the VA, we will provide X number of dollars. That's considered matching funds because they are guaranteeing that if you're funded, they will provide the match with that. You want to coordinate with other programs in your VA, I mean, in your community, specifically the VA. And if you have questions, make sure you ask. I've been asked all kinds of questions over my years here, and trust me, if I don't know the answer, I will send you somewhere that I can get the answer. But don't be afraid to ask that. Ask questions. So if you've listened and you think this is something that your organization would be or is interested in doing, you can go ahead and download the actual application at this point in time and take a look through it. No harm in looking through it to see exactly what's going to be involved with it. Make sure that you have your plans ready to go and that you're assessing the needs of your community and your target population. And then I would also encourage you to subscribe to our NCHV listserv, which will give you the heads up on different types of training and those types of things that we'll be having in the next couple of weeks. The other thing that I want to mention is that in order to be, you know, you're going to want to get all of this information sent in and ready to go. And we are going to be having an additional conference call in the next week or so on the actual NOFA itself, which will give more detail on what type of funding is currently available and how to go up getting that application and filling that out. So we have about 10 minutes left for questions. I'm happy to stay and answer questions as we move forward, but I'll go ahead and start now. If you have questions, you can hit *7 on your phone. If for some reason you need to go and we can't get to your question today, you can give me a call or email. My email address is nchv5@nchv.org. And I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have if we don't get to those today. So are there additional questions on the material that I've covered? *7 on your phone.
I had a question.
Okay.
You said that 75% of the facility that receives capital funds from the VA must be for vets.
That's correct.
Okay. And then you also said that the VA will cover up to 65% of the acquisition construction rehab. Okay. So 65% of 75% is the maximum, correct?
No. Okay. And maybe this is where some people are getting confused. When the VA is talking about your project, and I don't know how your project is set up, but we're talking about 65% of your total budget for your project.
Right.
So I guess
that's different than who you serve there. The 75% refers to how many 75% of the population must be vet, correct?
That's correct. 65% refers to the matching.
I see. 65% is actually the bricks and sticks.
Yes, that's correct.
Got it. Thank you.
Is there another question?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
My name is Sam Jackson. I'm with the American Legion.
Mm-hmm.
In Canton, Ohio,
mm-hmm.
And the veterans have no homeless shelter at this point, and I'm trying to do something about that.
Okay.
And my question is, I have downloaded the application and all of the paperwork. I do have contacts with the local VA clinic. However, I do need to get in touch with whoever the person is in Cleveland there at the Veterans Clinic in Cleveland. Now, my question is, when I get stuck on this application, in other words, I don't know what to do here, can I call this toll-free number that you gave us earlier and
yes,
talk
I
to
can,
you
I
or
can,
someone else?
I can't answer specific questions or read applications, but I can provide general guidance on filling it out.
Right, that's what I meant.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, great. That's all I have.
Okay. Are there other questions?
I have a question.
Okay.
For the special needs grant, I know that the funds for that category are limited.
Mm-hmm.
But my question would be, with this, with the per diem grant, and I get because we have several VAs in different states, several VA programs in within our states, but none of them have identified a grant application for special needs. So if a current program that we have, let's say in one of our locations, they want to, apply for a special need grant, can they do it in this capital phase, capital grant phase, or they have to apply separately in another time?
Well, if they want special needs, do they receive special needs funding currently?
No.
Okay, because there is a special needs grant, but it's for current grantees.
Yes, what I'm saying, we are grantees from the VA for, we have one for capital grant and we have the one for per diem. We have several. But my question would be, if our current locations that have VA contracts and they envision to serve the special need population, can they do it in this phase?
They would just have a target population, yes, that would be allowable.
That would be allowable?
But they wouldn't call it special needs. They would just call it a target population.
Oh, okay. Can you tell me roughly what is the availability of funds in that category?
Well, you would have to read through the NOFA. There's $15 million total, and I think it's $3 million, I could be wrong on that, for the women veterans, and then the rest, I believe, is for the general population, but it's been a couple of weeks.
That's okay. I can look at it. So to serve the women and children, that would be the targeted population grant?
If you're going for funding underneath that priority, yes.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Is there other questions? Star 7?
I have another question.
Okay.
It has to do with, excuse me one minute. It has to do with consolidating services in a new building,
mm-hmm.
which is what I intend to do is to, I have a facility, a transitional housing for homeless veterans, and receiving a per diem.
Mm-hmm.
And I intend to consolidate them in a large building in a nicer facility that provides more services. Can I include them in this capital request, or would they be looked at under another request?
You wouldn't be able to receive capital funds for them under this because it's only for new or expanding programs, so you could not receive funding for those under this grant.
Even if this is an expanding program?
You can receive funding for the expanding program. So if you went from 25 beds to 50 beds,
right.
then yes, you could get funds for the additional 25 beds, but you could not receive it for the 25 you currently have.
Okay. And this is only for transition, which is 24 months.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Christine, how do you get the VISN number? I have the application, but my particular nonprofit doesn't have a Dun & Bradstreet number.
My name is Melanie. Christina just helps
with. I'm sorry.
It's okay. You can. There's information on the VA's website on how to get the DUNS number. It's a fairly easy process, but you do have to apply for that. And I believe there's information on the VA's website.
Okay, and I did go there, and I'm trying to get her number, and every time we submit for a request, they keep saying they're going to email it, but she hasn't received the email with the number.
Okay, yeah, I have no control over that, but if they said they're sending it, then that means they're sending it. It's done by somebody else, not affiliated with the VA or my organization.
Okay.
Are there any other questions?
Yes, hello, Melanie. Thank
yes.
you for your time today. Could you repeat your voice, your email address again?
Sure. It's nchv5@nchv.org.
Is that V as in Victor or B as in boy?
V as in Victor. It stands for National Coalition for Homeless Veterans.
And you mentioned that there'll be some training seminars on the actual application in different regions. I know there was some recently in the Northeast, but was through March, but there'll be some after that.
Right. We have one currently scheduled in Chicago right now, and we're working on some other dates right now. As those become finalized, we will announce those on our website.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other additional questions? Okay, well, I want to thank everyone for their time. I know we're approaching the 3 o'clock time here on the East Coast, and I want to be cognizant of everyone's agenda. So if you do come up with additional questions, feel free to give me a call or an email. And I also would encourage you to go ahead and sign up for the conference calls we're going to be having on the NOFA if your organization is going to be applying for that. I wish you all best of luck, and if you have any additional questions, don't hesitate to give me a call. Thank you.
Thank you, Melanie.
Thank you.
Thank you.